let me see. I will have to quick Google it to see what it is, but I thought it was netlogger.org. No, it won't be .org. Let me go look.
Okay, roger, roger. I'm standing by. KG4 is the AC.
Netlogger.org. And I hear a station way out in the distance, but I didn't copy the call sign. This is KHOI. Well, you're just above the noise level to me in Akron, Ohio. Again, mine's KHOI, and I know you said you were Kilo Charlie. I don't have the number. Echo Papa Romeo.
Kilo Hotel Romeo.
Did you get the whole call for me so I can write it down?
Hold on, WPCIO. Give that call again, the fourth station.
Knobs here to pull you out. What, give me your call one more time.
I got it that time, Frank. Kilo Charlie 8, Echo Hotel Romeo. I think that's Clint. Man, it is hard to pull you out.
Hey, thank you, sir. I'm trying to download as we speak, so I'll go ahead and get ready to call the net. So if you can you start the logger?
Yes, sir. I will start it off.
All right, very good. Thank you, Bob. All right, this is the intercontinent. Wow. I'm confusing my two nets together. All right, good. Evening, everyone. This is the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I'm Kilo Golf 4, Zulu X-Ray Charlie. I'm Jesse. I'm your net control station out of Voter Fraud State of Pennsylvania. Once again, this is Wednesday night, and this is the Liberty Net. And we're taking check-in, so anyone out there, good evening.
Before you continue, Jesse, I have you in number one. I have me in number two. I have Frank. W2GIO as number three, and I have Flint in Michigan, Kilo Charlie 8, Echo Hotel Romeo as number four.
Okay, roger, roger, Bob. Write down Mr. Larry. He just came in there while you was talking. N4ROQ, good evening, Mr. Larry.
Sorry there, Bob. Didn't mean to jump in there while you were getting ready to say something. I thought you was asking for check-in. So, okay then. But I appreciate it. And I'm not ready yet, but I'll be ready here hopefully before you get to me. And so, okay.
All right, very good, Larry. We got you in there. Thank you, sir, for being here tonight, N4ROQ. Hey, this is the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I am Kilo Golf 4, Zulu X-Ray Charlie, and we're taking further check-ins. Anyone, anywhere?
Kilo Charlie.
There you go, Mr. Clint. That time we can hear you. I've got you on the logger as number four.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Jesse, did you hear Clint much better that time?
I heard him in there, but my noise level is kind of crazy right at the moment. I'm trying to figure out What the heck happened to this dang logger? It refused to initiate, so hopefully it'll work this time around. Alright, but I did not hear Clint as good as I would like to, but I noticed he was in there a lot more than I heard him last time. Alright, thank you, sir. Mr. Bob and Mr. Clint, sir, for being there as well. Alright, this is the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I'm KT4ZXC, and we're taking further check-in. Hi, Bob. I'm having technical difficulties with this computer going on the logger, so I'm going to have to go down the list and write them down as you give them to me, because right now I'm kind of blinded.
Okay, I'll keep the logger up and I will do that with you.
Alright, very good. Alright, this is KT4ZXC, and it's 4 minutes after 2200 hours. It is the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I'm KT4ZXC. Take your further check-in. See anyone out there.
Kilo, Oscar 4, Golf Sierra Tango, Robbie out of Great Falls.
Okay, KO4GST. Good evening, Mr. Robbie, out of South Carolina, checking in tonight. Thank you, Mr. Robbie, for being there. Anyone else for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net? Call now. This is Kilo Golf 4, Zulu X-Ray, Anna Charlie, and this is the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I am Jesse. I am your net control station taking check-in, so anyone anywhere.
When you're ready, I'll read the open for you, Jeff.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah, I'm just tuning everything up, trying to get everything isolated here. All right, how am I coming in, Bob?
You're almost 30 over. You're doing a great job here in Akron.
Good deal. All right, well, this is the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I am Kilo Golf 4, Zulu X-Ray Charlie, once again for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net, ladies and gentlemen. And I am your net controller out of the Voter Fraud State of Pennsylvania once again. The last call before we start the net. Anyone else? Hearing nothing. Alright, well, this is KG4ZXC, and I appreciate everybody who's been here tonight. I'm having a hard time with a lot of noise on my receive right now, so please bear with us. Alright, let's see. This is Jesse, and I am your net control, like I said earlier, out of Pennsylvania. Once again, this is KG4ZXC for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Alright, Mr. Bob, go ahead and do the opening, and we'll see if there's any late check-ins.
Roger, Mr. Jesse. This is KAHJOY. I'm going to read the opening for your net controller, KG4ZX Tennessee. Good evening to all participants on this 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it's the longest-running and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now, and since the year of 1974, founded by the late Victor Mythic, W1WCR. This is the area net, the gold standard. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the real, the great, the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. With that being said, I'm going to read the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. With that being said, I will pass it back to tonight's net control, KG4ZXC. Tennessee.
Okay, thank you very much.
Appreciate that, Mr. Bob. Hi, this is Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I'm Jesse. I'm your net control.
Hey, well, let's see. I got the logger up from Bob, so hopefully I'll be able to review everything that's showing up on the net tonight. So thank you, Bob, for running everything and doing the intermittent there. Let's see, what do I have to start off tonight with, ladies and gentlemen? Well, I'm going to tell you, I have a awesome NOQ report. The no-go zone report, pretty much. this is off the NOQreport.com. I want everybody to think about this for 1 second. Everybody out there is being pushed to try to get the COVID vaccine, the jab, or whatever you want to call it, right? Well, I got this report that really blows people away. A whopping 58% of doctors in the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons are not vaccinated. I repeat, are not vaccinated. So, you know, they're out here trying to bribe you with marijuana, tickets, lottery. They're trying to do everything in their power to get you to get the jab, the China 19 jab. And you know what? 58% of doctors out here are not going to take it because they're not vaccinated. What the heck does that tell you, America? What does it tell you? If you ain't figured it out by now, then you definitely are a sheeple. Anyway, the story goes into this. Following science, they say, the vaccines are totally safe and disregard of dozens of articles per day claiming they are any scientific negative reactions, they say. Listen to the doctors, they say. Listen to the doctors. Okay, how about these doctors? The 58% of 700 physicians responding to the internet survey by Associated American Physicians and Surgeons, nearly 60% said they were not fully vaccinated against the COVID. In contrast with the claim that American Medical Association that 96% are practicing physicians are fully vaccinated. This was based on 300 response. Nearly surveyed represented a random sample of American physicians, but the AAPS survey shows the physician's support for the mass ejection campaign is far from unanimous. So, it is wrong to call a person who declines a shot an anti-vaxxer. State APS Executive Director Jan Orent, medical doctor, virtually no physicians are anti-antibiotic or anti-surgery. Where else are all opposed and treatments that they think are unnecessary or more likely to harm than to benefit the individual patients or inadequately tested? So here you go, ladies and gentlemen. Associated Press and all these people are just lying to us. Even the doctors and your physicians, they're going to keep this going as long as they can, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's take it to the top. And I am KG4ZAC in the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Let's go up to Mr. Bob, KHJOY. Thank you, sir, for being here tonight. Take it away, Bob.
Roger, Jesse. First off, thank you for doing Saturday night. I was absent the military. They have a remembrance event for the Bartok soldiers. They're also called the Raiders, which is a term used from World War II. And my son, unfortunately, is one of 48 Bartok soldiers, which stands for Marine Amphibious Reconnaissance Special Operations Command, one of 48 that have perished since Bartok was founded in 2007. He was the eighth soldier. They have a remembrance ceremony. It is not paid by U.S. tax dollars. It is all by donations. So the Gold Star families are flown or given gas cards to drive to Wilmington, South Wilmington, North Carolina, They put us up in a nice Holiday Inn. They provide some meals. They drive us out to the military base, the Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. The MARSOC area is called Stone Bay. We basically, the new soldiers that have died, their dog tags are hung on a large walnut, I guess I want to say monument. It's where all the dog tags for the 48 soldiers. Their pictures are up there with a little bio about them. And the families get together and basically socialize. Some families do not come. The soldiers deceased and they want to be done. A lot of us do it. It is difficult, I will admit. It's kind of like putting salt on a wound, but you meet some new people. Two soldiers came up to me. They're both master gunnery sergeants. They had fought with my son. They definitely revered him. And I came back with a couple more challenge coins. And then we have some, again, nice meals, and we fly back to our home. So I was not available, and I appreciate, Jesse, for you handling that. I'll quick have an article so you can move on. You gotta love this DeSantis from Florida. The new law requires Florida students to be taught about, quote, the evils of communism, unquote. DeSantis signed trio of bills on civic education in K-12 schools. I haven't heard the term civic since I was in school. High school students in Florida, this is by the Epic Times, by the way, which is a wonderful newspaper. High school students in Florida will be required to learn about the evils of communism under one of three bills Governor Ron DeSantis signed on Tuesday. He signed the bills at a news conference at Three Oaks Middle School in Fort Myers. Two of the bills, HB 5 and SB 1108, focus on civic education, and the third, HB 233, requires freedom of expression at big colleges and universities. So basically, if you're a right person and a conservative, you won't be stopped from talking, like they've been doing in Virginia when I guess a bunch of school board people, a bunch of parents, raised a stink, and they said they were out of line for bringing up those topics. Specifically, HB 5 requires the Florida Department of Education to develop an integrated K-12 civic education curriculum that includes students teaching about citizens' shared rights under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Apparently, they're probably not going to teach about rioting, looting, and burning crap down. The measure also adds a requirement for public high schools to include a comparative discussion of political ideologies such as communism, totalitarianism, that conflict with the principles of freedom and democracy, essential to the founding principles of the United States of America. What a concept. In short, high schools must provide instruction on the evils of communism and totalitarian ideology. DeSantis said nothing that there are Florida residents who have escaped totalitarian regimes and communist dictatorships such as from Cuba and Vietnam that live in America. We want all students to understand the difference, he said. Why would somebody flee across shark-infested waters? Why would people leave these countries to risk their lives to come here? It's important that students understand that, which is an interesting topic. If we're such a bad country, why does everybody want to come here? But then they bring their bad things with them. The Republican governor also signed SB 1108, which requires state college and university students to undergo both a civic literary course and civic literary assessment in order to graduate. Prior to this bill, students were only required to do one, either the course or the assessment. High school students will also be required to take a civic literacy assessment if they pass a test. They'll be exempt from taking a civic test in college or university. Such a concept. We're going to teach what America is about, not how to destroy it, not about Juneteenth. Isn't it funny that Barack Obama had 8 years and he never addressed Juneteenth? That man was not for the black man. He failed them, but they can't see that part. Back to you, Mr. Jesse, again. Thank you for Saturday. KT4CX and a C, KAHJONY.
Hey, very good. Thank you, Bob. And, yeah, appreciate everything you do as well. And I was glad to help out Saturday. Hey, this is KT4ZXC, clear with KAHJOY, Mr. Bob, out of Ohio. Thank you, Bob. And I was going to mention something about how these people have done so much for our soldiers. And I wish I could have been there in Camp Lejeune to help honor the soldiers there, Bob. But yeah, it's that's really good that you went down there and got to visit and they took care of you guys. So that's very awesome. And for as for Joe Obama, the prior and the present, who really knows what the heck we're expecting from these guys? Are they guys or are they robots or are they aliens? Who really knows what these people are? But they surely ain't elected officials. Hey, thanks, Bob. Let's see, going down to the logger here. Let me switch back and forth. I'm working on a new computer here, so please bear with me, guys. Goes to Mr. Frank out of Fishkill. Mr. Frank, W2GIO, good afternoon, sir, and welcome to the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Good to hear you again, sir.
Okay. W2GIO, let's see where my settings are here. Yeah, I think I'm good. At any rate, well, say good evening and everyone, Bob and Jesse, and I think there was a four station, a couple of four stations in there too. I only have, well, I'll tell you, there's a couple interesting things going on. In New York City, it looks like the guy that started the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa, is running for governor, mayor of New York City, and he's being helped along quite a lot by Rudy Giuliani, because on WABC, WABC is the big AM station in New York City, and the owner is a conservative guy, and he actually has several programs on that radio station, and one of the programs is Rudy Giuliani has a program, and anyhow, Curtis Sliwa normally is on that station too, but now that he's running for mayor of New York City, he's not on the air as one of the people that run programs, do programs. Anyway, so, but it looks like Curtis is doing pretty well. And so there's a good possibility that he's going to be helped by Rudy quite a lot. And because when Rudy was mayor of New York, he really did a lot to get rid of crime and clean things up. So there's hope for New York City. Anyhow, the other item I have here is, there's a doctor down in Texas. His name is Dr. Peter McCullough, McCullough. And he's got has a nice talk on a website, bitchute.com. And what he's done is he's talked to a bunch of different organizations, the Senate in Texas, and it's all about how he initially started treating coronavirus people with his concoction of readily available medications. In fact, what he said was, what motivated him was his father contracted the coronavirus, and his father's pretty well up there. I'm not very well off as far as mentally capable and all that kind of stuff. And so this doctor, Peter McCullough, It took him 60 days, but he was able to cure his father using all kinds of regular, readily available medications that he was familiar with, ivermectin and hydrochloroquine and zinc and a bunch of other stuff. In fact, he goes through and he does a very nice job of talking about how the coronavirus manifests in the body over time. So how the different medications that he was using attacked those different periods. And it seemed to me, from what I'm gathering, is that it was really important to get to treating the people early. And one of the things he was really complaining about was that there was no information coming out of any of the medical establishments on how to treat this coronavirus. And he said this was just unheard of, that this could possibly happen. And so he published a protocol to use, and he's been now he's known all around the world because he put this out on the web. He had it on YouTube, and it got taken down. But now he's already been established. So he says he's pretty much bulletproof because he's so well established in what he's done that he's not afraid for anything. So he says at the end, come on and come after me and see what happens. So at any rate, it's Dr. Peter McCullough, McCullough, and it's on BIT, like a computer bit, BitChute.com. Anyhow, it was very good to hear this, and he also talks about, he says, look, there was over 600,000 people that died, and he says if he would have been able to save 85% of those people using his protocol. So there you go. Anyhow, Jesse, back to you. KG4ZXC, W2GIO.
Okay, very good there. Thank you, Frank. And yes, sir, I tell you, we've been fed so much BS within the last year and a half now that it's hard to decipher what's real and what ain't anymore. And with all these reports coming out, I think everybody needs to just follow the science, all right. Make an educated decision which one you prefer. Take a shot or take a chance on dying immediately after. I tell you, it's a crazy situation we're dealing with there, Frank. All right, thank you very much. W2GIO out of Fishkill, New York, Mr. Frank. Thank you for being there. And let's see. Next on the list, out of Eaton Rapids. I gotta get that correct. KCA Echo Hotel Romeo out of the state of Michigan, behind enemy lines. Yes, sir, I said it. Behind enemy lines, Mr. Clint. Well, I tell you what, you're not the only one behind enemy lines, sir, but I know you're dealing with a lot of crap up there in Michigan. Take it away, Clint.
Good evening, everybody here. I was just listening to people talk and thinking about what possible to take one topic and stick with it. I'm pretty much done up, but I happen to be going through some. The only thing I do is I do the cattle call. That's it. The only social media. And the only reason why I do that is because I always got it. You talk about being behind enemy lines. Michigan Republican
said.
Reading it a lot here in the last couple of weeks, a lot of good stuff in there.
This is my John Velico, Nancy Pelosi wants guns for her, but not for you.
On February the 14th, the Speaker of the House of Representatives
helped launch a flotilla of gun control measures, claiming we will not rest until all Americans in schools, in the workplace, in the place of worship, and throughout our communities are safe. That's strange because last year she knelt in Kent cloth in support of the hundreds of rioters running rampant throughout the country. That is until the Capitol riot, after which she made certain to get as many guns as she could to the U.S. Capitol as long as they protected her. At that point, U.S. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, charged that Pelosi turned the Capitol complex into a green zone protected by no-scale fencing, razor wire, and 26,000 soldiers. It was primarily at her request that the National Guard deployed five times more troops to Washington than served in Iraq and Afghanistan combined. The reason Cotton believes is that Pelosi was egged on by excitable cable news pundits and Democratic partisans eager to portray President Donald Trump's 74 million voters as domestic terrorists. According to Cotton, a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee there existed no specific credible threat reported as distinguished from aspirational, uncoordinated bluster on the internet that justifies this continued troop presence. In fact, a member of the U.S. House Armed Services Committee asked Pelosi for a briefing as to why do we need these troops here, and we have received zero information, zero. U.S. Army officials have confirmed that at least 5,000 troops will remain in Washington until mid-March. 8-foot fences with concertina wire will surround the Capitol. Although Pelosi claims such measures aimed to protect the country's border were ineffective and immoral. Yeah, we don't need any border walls or any fencing or anything down there. It's immoral and ineffective, but it's okay up at the Capitol. Regardless, with the Capitol converted to an armed bunker, Pelosi aimed at a press conference announcing the gun trafficking and Crime Prevention Act, the Gun Show Loophole Closing Act, the NICS Review Act, the Firearm Risk Protection Act, and the Handgun Trigger Safety Act. Those bills, including a prohibition on anyone in the country buying or selling a single gun without appropriate insurance, unless, of course, the purchase or sale of a firearm is by certain governmental entities, which just happen to include the National Guard guarding Pelosi. The measures also include a blanket ban after 5 years on the manufacture of all handguns, or after 10 years on their sale, unless they include a virtual non-existent technology that personalizes the weapon. Unless, of course, the purchase is by a government entity, which just happens to include the National Guard guarding Pelosi. So when rioters are running rampant throughout your neighborhood, Pelosi is for it. When you want to buy a gun to defend yourself, Pelosi is against it. But when she needs men and women with guns to defend her, Pelosi is for it again. Instead, how about this radical idea? Why don't we respect all Americans' rights to defend themselves and arrest all those who riot? In short, guns for her and for you. This is by John Velico, the Executive Vice President for Gun Owners of America. Okay, let's see. I've got a pretty good article here. Let's see, that I wanted to, about E. Let me get to that little article. EMS. I think this is Will Living. It says, how EMS disturb your immune system.
You know what EMFs are? Electromagnetic fields. We're living in an unprecedented time, one in which electromagnetic fields from cell phones and cell phone base stations, Wi-Fi devices, power lines, electrical wiring, and even computers, televisions, microwave ovens surround us 24/7. Ole Johansson, associate professor and head of the Experimental Dermatology Unit, Department of Neuroscience at the Karolinska Institute in Sweden, is among those who have questioned whether humans are affected by such an assault. In 2009, review published in Pathophysiology, Johansson points out that since life on Earth began more than 3.5 billion years ago, the geomagnetic fields and radiation from the sun has remained largely static. During life's progression, living organisms have developed ways to cope with these influences, including developing pigmented skin to shield from the sun or for other species. Living underground or under the dense protective foliage of a rainforest. During the past 100 years, however, as EMFs become prolific, we haven't developed a similar adaptation. It is possible to adapt our biology to altered exposure conditions in less than 100 years, or do we have to have thousands of years or longer for such an adaptation? And in the meantime, what kind of safety standards must we adopt, Johansson asked. After reviewing a number of papers on the effects of man-made EMFs on the immune system, he found disturbing consequences and ultimately concluded not only that existing public safety limits are inadequate to protect public health, but also the limits should be set on the deployment of further untested technologies in fluoroquine. EMFs disturb immune function. EMFs present in everyday life include at workplaces, homes, and areas of recreation disturb the human body at the cellular level, often at low or very low non-thermal levels. Johansson cites research showing that EMF exposures stimulate increases in mast cells and other psychological changes and indicate an allergic response in inflammatory conditions. He believes that rapid rises in the incidence of allergies, asthma, and other sensitivities worldwide are a warning signal, as chronic exposure to EMFs may lead to immune dysfunction. Chronic allergic responses, inflammatory responses, and overall ill health. EMF exposures have also been linked to a variety of specific immune systems effects, including overreaction of the immune system, alteration of immune cells, profound increases in mast cells in the upper layers of the skin, larger size of mast cells in electro-hypersensitivity individual, suppressed or impaired immune function, decreased count of natural killer cells, immune cells that help kill cells infected with viruses and control early signs of cancer, and negative effects on pregnancy. Research published by the World Health Organization in 2006 suggested 1% to 3.5% of people are hypersensitive to electromagnetic radiation, though estimates have reached as high as 10% of populations in the United States, Sweden, Switzerland, Germany, Norway, and many other countries. This condition is known as electro-hypersensitivity, EHS, and it leads to a number of physical and cognitive symptoms upon exposure to EMF. Common symptoms of EHS include headaches, dizziness, fatigue, trouble concentrating, cognitive problems, sleep interruptions, and skin symptoms such as stinging, itching, and burning. According to Johansson, it is evident from our preliminary experimental data that various biological alterations are present in EHS persons claiming to suffer from exposures to EMF. The alterations are themselves enough to fully explain EHHS symptoms, and the involvement of the immune system is evident. Damages from EMF exposure are not only a matter of increased cell damage, but also of reduced repair, facilitating the spread of disease. The report cites evidence that EMF exposure may contribute to DNA damage and adverse effects on cellular communication, metabolism and repair, and cancer surveillance within the body, along with causing adverse cardiac and neurological effects, including memory impairment, changes in brainwave activity, and disturbing cognitive function. Biological effects from EMF exposure may occur at levels significantly below U.S. and international limits. Biological-based exposure standards are needed to protect humans from the effects of even low-level EMF exposure. But according to Johansson, such a completely protective safety limit would, for many exposure situations, be zero. Unfortunately, the currently accelerated rollout of 5G technology, which requires the installation of numerous small cell transmission devices in neighborhoods, stands to dramatically increase EMF exposures and the related health consequences. So this 5G technology is going to increase a lot of these transmission devices in our neighborhoods. 1,000 studies on adverse effects of EMF. The body of evidence shows that EMF can harm has become too large to ignore. At greenmedinfo.com, you can browse through more than 1,000 EMF abstracts and their connection to oxidative stress, DNA damage, cancer, inflammation, and more. There are a dozen studies focus on the immunotoxic effects of EMFs, including potentially reducing immune function in the elderly and affecting cellular processes that play a role in cancer development and improper growth and development of organisms. Living organisms can detect and respond immediately to low environmental levels of these fields. Henry Lay, the Department of Bioengineering at the University of Washington in Seattle, wrote, "And such is important to take action now to protect yourself and your family from unnecessary EMF exposures as much as possible." So just remember, people, being on the cell phone a whole bunch, being close to a lot of these electromagnetic fields is not good for you. So just try to remember that you need to reduce those electromagnetic field exposures as much as possible. So back to you guys. N4ROQ, Larry in Tennessee on the Liberty Net. Back to you.
Okay, very good. Thank you there, Mr. Larry. And that's a good bit of information there. And everybody needs to be taking notes. If you're not reading this, you need to be taking notes, ladies and gentlemen, because there's so much going on right now. And there was another incident, Larry, about 5G that was going on in D.C. I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago, where all the birds in D.C. are dying out. And they don't know why. I think 5G is where they finally implemented the 5G starting in D.C. among other places. So who knows what the effects of all this is actually going to do. We all need to be aware of this vaccine and what 5G could possibly do to this type of nanotechnology that we have. So yeah, it's crazy. Hey, well, thank you, Larry. Appreciate the information, and we'll be back around to you here in the short. So thank you, Mr. Larry. N4ROQ out of the great state of Tennessee. That was Mr. Larry, and I am Kilo Golf 4 Zulu X-Ray Charlie, going back to the old logger here, and this is the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Alright, this is KG4ZXC, and it goes down to KO4GST, out of Great Falls, South Carolina. Back to you, Mr. Rob. Take it away, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, KG4ZXC, and I want to read this little story out of the New York Times that says, a 14-year-old bride wed to her rapist. I know that's hard to believe, people, but this is what's going on in our America right now. For years, the United States has campaigned against child marriage around the world, from Guatemala to Zimbabwe, but we should listen to ourselves. 45 states here in America continue to allow girls and boys under 18 to wed. Girls as young as 10 are occasionally married, not quite legally, in the United States. 9 states have established no absolute minimum age for marriage. A study this year found that nearly 300,000 children, meaning age 17 and under, were married in the United States from 2000 to 2018. An overwhelming majority were 16 or 17-year-old girls, on average marrying a man 4 years or older. But more than 1,000 were 14 years old or younger. 5 were only 10 years old. Some were to wed people far older. No one asked for consent, remember Patricia Abbott-Markov, who as an 8th grader was married just after her 14th birthday to a man who was 27. There was nothing romantic about it. I was in love with him. I wasn't in love with him. I didn't have a crush on him. I was afraid of him. A judge in Florence, Alabama, married the couple in the courthouse, and then the couple went to the park outside where they were where the new bride spotted the playground and left the groom to play on a jungle gym. Abbott-Markov, now 55, said the path to this marriage began when she was 12 and living in a middle-class home. Her parents were secular, but she had become quite religious and during a personal crisis sought help from an evangelical Christian telephone hotline. A counselor, Mark, showed up and offered free counseling services. These became increasingly intense, she said, and he began to forcibly rape her repeatedly. At 13, she became pregnant by these rapes. She didn't know what to do, but Mark and her mother favored marriage. This solved their problems. For Abbott-Markov's mother, it averted the stigma of out-of-wedlock baby in the house, and for Mark, it allowed him to dodge rape charges. Abbott-Markov desperately wanted to keep the baby in hopes of having someone to love and comfort her, and her mom told her this was the only way she could do so. While this happened decades ago, similar reasonings led to many youthful marriages today. I've been writing about child marriages in the United States since 2017, when I came across the case of an 11-year-old girl, Sherry Johnson, who had been forced to marry her rapist in Florida. Child marriage was then allowed in some form in all 50 states. Now thanks in part to a heroic effort by the advocacy organization Unchained at Last, 5 states have completely barred marriages by people under the age of 18. Delaware, Minnesota, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island, New York has passed a similar bill that is awaiting the governor's signature. The states that allow child marriages mostly do so in particular circumstances, such as with the permission of a parent and a judge. These safeguards don't work very well. The marriages sometimes involve a girl, perhaps pregnant, marrying an older man who may be her rapist. These new studies found that 60,000 of child marriages since 2000 involved couples with a large enough gap in ages that sex would typically be a crime. These marriage licenses became a get-out-of-jail-free card in most of these states, said Frady Wright, a victim of forced marriage who found it Unchained at Last. There are a course of 17-year-olds who fall deeply in love and can handle a marriage. We can understand that if a girl becomes pregnant, the couple may prefer to marry right away, but it's complicated. The legal system withholds many rights from people under 18, so a married 17-year-old can become trapped in a confessed marriage. If the marriage sours and the underage girl will often not become accepted at a woman's shelter, she will have difficulty retaining a lawyer to get these assistance or counseling. She may even have trouble getting divorced because children often cannot initiate a legal proceeding without going through a guardian. And if a minor flees a violent husband, the police may send her right back to her abuser. That's what happened to Abra Marcos. Her marriage at 14 didn't work. Within months, Abra Marcos said she began, Mark began beating her almost daily, and sometimes the new baby as well. Mark died in 2008, so I don't know this version of events. One night she said she fled a beating and she was walking through the road about midnight with her baby in a stroller, and a police officer stopped for her for violating curfew. She drove her baby back to home and gave a copy of the written warning to her husband and then drove off. My husband then beat me, Abra Marcos said. Eventually, Abra Marcos fled for good and put her baby and daughter up for adoption. With the help of her parents, she was able to get a divorce on a school day with enough time to catch her 11th grade English class. The United States is quite right to campaign that child marriage in Bangladesh and Yemen. Let's do so and do the same at home. This is KO4GST.
WTF, holy crap, thank you, Rob, KO4GST out of South Carolina, thank you, Rob. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to think about some of the stuff that goes on here in this country. Even things we don't even think about, we neglect to see it, or we just fail and refuse to see it. One to two, but when it comes to a story like that, thank you, Rob, for bringing it to light. You know, as far as I remember, you know, the age of consent is still legally on documents in that state of South Carolina for the age of 14 for marital consent, with the exception the parents must consent, but the age of consent in South Carolina is actually 14, guys. Did y'all know that? I didn't know that until I just started looking it up. Hey, well, anyway, thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. KO4GST in the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I'm KG4ZXC out of the Voter Fraud State of Pennsylvania. And let's take a quick pause to see if there's any late check-ins. Anyone else like to join us? Your call sign, please. Okay, well, I'm hearing absolutely nothing, so it goes back to the top. So I guess it's going to be something else I want to put in to the input of tonight's Wednesday Night Liberty Net myself. I'm KT4ZXC, and my name is Jesse, of course, and I'm out of Pennsylvania. And once again, I got this story. It's coming off of WeLoveTrump.com. Yep, that's right. We love Trump. I think we could have never had a better president, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, off of WeLoveTrump.com, this is an exclusive report. And Google, guess what Google did this time, guys? Google funded the Wuhan lab, the China Wuhan lab collaborators for a decade. Yes, that's right. I cannot believe this story no more than you can yourself. Google has been contributing to this for some time. Follow the money, they say. That's the only thing needed to figure out the infamous origin of the China COVID-19 virus. News report has linked other pieces of the puzzle and figured out the number of guilty parties responsible for manufacturing a bioweapon and the latest puzzle piece of a gigantic one. Big tech giants, Google, in addition to receiving funding from the NIH, Wuhan lab collaborator Pete Danzig, received funding from Google for 10 plus years, ladies and gentlemen. No wonder these big tech went bonkers censoring anything that put Danzig and the Wuhan lab beneath the spotlight. It was all a deflection since they potentially played why they potentially part in funding this dangerous gain of function research ultimately led to this global catastrophic event. Can we please investigate Google now? I think we ought to. I think we ought to be doing a lot more investigation, but with this installed government that we have, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to see the bomb of anything as long as these people are in charge. And if you haven't seen what's going on around us right now, ladies and gentlemen, we are at war. And food's going to go up, gas is going to go up, everything else is going to go up, and it's just going to keep getting worse. And you're finally seeing some pushback. But you know what? I think it's too late, guys. I think we won't see another election. I don't think we'll see 2022 election myself, but that's I'm not for doom and gloom, and I'm not for rioting or anything else, but I want to emphasize that we may not have another election in this country. So hopefully, maybe I'm wrong. God let me be wrong. All right, this is KG4ZXC, and back to the top of the list. So, Mr. Bob, K8JOY, you have the deck, sir, so take it away.
Roger, Roger, Jesse, that is a frightening thing. I'm assuming we'll have a 2022 election, but boy, I don't know what's going to happen in 2024. That is really frightening. Well, I'm going to change gears a little bit. Somebody mentioned about the 5G and it's all about the money. I mean, we're pushing 5G and those little antennas are going up everywhere. But here's an interesting thing about for the amateur radio operator. New FCC RF exposure rules take effect May 3rd. Back in 2019, the FCC adopted new rules relating to radio frequency exposure levels, which ended amateur radio's categorical exemption making station evaluations. The exposure limits have not been changed, just the methods of how to make the measurements. The rules were not implemented immediately in order to give him and other licensees time to figure out how to meet the new requirements. Now again, we got 5G. Everybody and their brother's got a cell phone up to their damn head. But the FCC apparently has implemented these rules. I can't see them ever enforcing them. As of May 3rd, that affect us all. Existing stations have an additional 2 years in which to determine whether an evaluation is required. New stations are existing stations that are modified in a way that affects RF exposure, such as putting up a new tower or antenna, must comply with the new rules before putting out into service. There are still exemptions and some amateur radio stations may qualify. You may need to determine that an individual basis, the ARRL is offering help to him to make the necessary determinations and has made it, you can Google, RF Exposure and You. It's a book that's available from the ARL. So I went on the website. Folks, it's 316 pages of gobbledygook. I have never seen so many forms. You know, how much power, how high is your tower, how long's your antenna, how long's your coax. 316 pages of whether you are being exposed to RF energy. Now face it, most of us have a decent station, and if we're putting power out, it's not going into our stack. But we're going to worry about the ham radio operator, who is probably way more conscious about his RF energy. But everybody, their brother and mother, has a cell phone stuck to their head with 5G, but that's okay, because that's a money maker. With back to you, Jesse, I thought that would be an interesting tidbit. KG4CX and a C, KHAONY.
Hey, Roger, Roger. Thank you, Bob, and appreciate that. And you know what? that's
That's probably the best way to put it. Hey, thank you, Bob. I appreciate you being here tonight, and also run the logger. Appreciate that, sir. Let's see. It looks like it's going down to Mr. Frank. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I had the logger on the screen here, trying to move it out of the way. All right. So, Mr. Frank, out of Fishkill, New York, W2GIO. What do you got for round two, sir?
W2GIO, I'm going to be packing it in because I'm trying to behave myself a little bit and get the better of the reasonable hour. I've been spending a lot of time tuning up some duplexer for a 220 repeater, total of 8 cans, and it's given me some fits, but I'm getting there. Anyhow, I'm glad everybody was in tonight. Got some good news, good information. And there is good news that God loves us and wants to bless us. So that's it from me. And I'm going to say by 73 right now, and I'm going to pack it in. W2GIO.
Good night, Frank.
Hey, well, thank you there, Mr. Frank, and I know it's a work week, and a lot of people have got a lot of things going on, so I appreciate you being here tonight, Mr. Frank, and I do apologize if I stepped out of the line in any way. God bless you, sir. You take care. W2GIO, checking out, so thank you, Mr. Frank, for being here tonight on the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I'm KG4ZXC, and it looks like it's going to Mr. Quint in Michigan. Kilo Charlie 8, Echo Hotel Romeo. Mr. Quint, you have the floor, sir.
Heard Jesse, let me give a shout out to him. KG8, Echo Hotel Romeo, Mr. Clint, it's back to you, KHOI. Mr. Jesse, I think Mr. Clint has packed it in for the night.
Okay, well, thank you, Bob, and I think he had to get up and go to work as well, so schedules like that during the weeknight. All right, well, thank you, Bob, and Mr. Clint, if you're still monitoring, thank you for coming by and supporting the net tonight, sir. Always a pleasure hearing from Clint as well. Kilo Charlie 8, Echo Hotel Romeo out of Michigan behind enemy lines. That was Mr. Clint. I only stuck around for round one, so it looks like Mr. Larry has the next round. So, in for ROQ in the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Take it away, Larry.
Okay, looks like Congress has approved June 19th as a holiday. This says the United States will soon have a new federal holiday. This is an older paper, and they probably already signed it and everything, I believe he has. Commemorating the end of slavery in the nation. The House voted 415-14 Wednesday to make June the 19th, the 12th federal holiday. The bill now goes to President Joe Biden's desk, and I believe I watched him at that desk there before many, many times. I believe he already put this into law. June 10th commemorates when the last enslaved American or African Americans learned they were free. Confederate soldiers surrendered in April 1865, but word didn't reach the last enslaved black people until June the 19th, when the Union soldiers brought the news of freedom to Galveston, Texas. That was also about 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation freeing slaves in the southern states. It's the first new federal holiday since Martin Luther King Jr. Day was created in 1983.
Our federal holidays are purposely few in number and recognize the most important milestones, says Representative Carolyn Maloney, Democrat of New York. I cannot think of a more important milestone to commemorate than the end of slavery in the United States. The bill was sponsored by Senator Edward Markey, Democrat, Massachusetts, and had 60 co-sponsors. Democrat leaders moved quickly to bring the bill to the House floor. Representative Matt Rosendale, Republican of Montana, opposed the move, saying created a federal holiday was an effort to celebrate identity politics. So we'll see what happens there. And move on from there. Arizona Secretary of State tells Maricopa County to get new election machines. This has become my favorite newspaper, the Epic Times, which Bob likes also, and a lot of other people. It's great. It's full of a lot of stuff that you never make it to the regular fake news. Arizona Secretary of State warned the state's largest county not to try to use election machines that are being audited, or she would decertify the equipment. I have grave concerns regarding the security and integrity of these machines, given that the chain of custody, a critical security tenet, has been compromised, and election officials do not know what was done to the machines while under Cyber Engine Ninja's control. Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, a Democrat, wrote a May 20th letter to Maricopa County officials. Auditors hired by the Arizona Senate, including Cyber Ninjas, have been reviewing more than 2 million ballots cast and 385 tabulators used in the 2020 election, along with other materials. Auditors have said they're following strict forensics protocols. We don't turn on a system if it's delivered to us in a powered off state. We remove the hard drives. We perform forensics imaging with write blocks to prevent any changes to those hard drives, and we produce a bit-for-bit forensics copy of that particular drive. Ben Cotton, founder of CYFIR, the company, Cypher, I guess, the company leading the technology component of the audit, told Arizona senators in a May 18th meeting. Ken Bennett, the former Republican Arizona Secretary of State, who is serving as the audit liaison for the state Senate, added that immediately upon receiving the machines on April the 21st, the equipment and ballots were placed into locked cages and had been under armed guard the entire time. We have not had any breaches of the cages where the ballots or the machines have been kept, he said. But Hobbs alleged that it's unclear what security procedures, if any, were put into place to secure the machines. Indeed, our expert observers, as well as multiple news reports, have noted troubling security lapses, and Cyber Ninjas has failed to provide full transparency into what they did with the equipment, she wrote to Maricopa County officials. The lack of physical security and transparency means we cannot be certain who accessed the voting equipment and what might have been done to them. Now, they're starting to wake up on these voting machines. A county judge last month declined to grant an Arizona Democratic Party request to block the audit. The request, backed by Hobbs, was made because Democrats alleged there were security issues with the audit. But the judge said Democrats didn't provide substantial evidence backing up their claim. In the new letter, Hobbs said there are no comprehensive methods to fully rehabilitate compromised equipment, meaning the county should acquire new machines to ensure secure and accurate elections moving forward. If the county chooses to redeploy the subpoenaed equipment for use in a future election, Hobbs' office may may consider moving to you to certify you. Before the audit started, Arizona Republican Senate President Karen Fain, F-A-U-N-N, signed a document that provided indemnification Maricopa County against third-party claims of any damages occurring to materials the county gave over to the auditors. The county is reviewing Hobbs's letter, the county spokesperson told the Epoch Times by email. So this Epoch Times is becoming a very good paper. They're got some good reporters. They're out there checking on a lot of different things, especially the election machines. But why wouldn't they check them? Why wouldn't the Supreme Court? Why wouldn't these people do some checking after this election? I think they were all in cahoots with this deal. It had to be. Or they would have done some checking on a lot of this stuff. Here's a article regarding Iran's new president, wins in landslide. So Iran's had an election here. Comes from DuBois, United Arab Emirates. Iran's hardline judiciary chief won a landslide victory Saturday in the country's presidential election, a vote that propelled the supreme leader's protege into Iran's high civilian position and saw the lowest turnout in the Islamic Republic's history. The election of Ibrahim Raisi, that's spelled R-A-I-S-I, who has been sanctioned by the U.S. over his involvement in the mass execution of thousands of political prisoners in 1988, became more of a coronation after his strongest competition found himself disqualified from running. So, pretty big election, sounds like. They sparked a call for a boycott, and many apparently did stay home. Out of more than 59 million eligible voters, only 28.9 million voted. Of those voters, some 3.7 million either accidentally or intentionally voided their ballot. It's suggesting some wanted none of the four candidates. The Ibrahim Raisi has risen to the presidency instead of being investigated for the crimes against humanity of murder, enforced disappearance and torture, and a grim reminder that impunity reigns supreme in Iran. Amnesty International Secretary General Agnes Callamard said that in official the results, Ramesti won 17.9 million votes overall, nearly 62% of those cast. Had the voting ballots gone to a candidate, that person would have come in second place. Following Ramesti was former hardline Revolutionary Guard Commander Mohsin Ramzani with 3.1 million votes. So he was way second. But it's not who votes or how many votes, it's who counts the votes that counts. So, as we found out in our election. So, we'll shoot it back up over to you, Jesse, from N4ROQ on the Liberty Net. Thanks for running that, by the way, and it's sounding good down here tonight from Larry in Tennessee, N4ROQ. Okay, well, thank you there, Larry, and appreciate you being here tonight as well. And I read a little bit about that article earlier today, but I didn't get through the whole thing. But thank you for going over that, because now I'm a little bit more informed. All right, let's see. That was N4ROQ, Mr. Larry out of Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen. I'm KG4ZXZ. I'm the voter fraud state of Pennsylvania once again. This is the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. And it's going down the list, and we're down to the bottom, which is KO4GSNT. Take it away, Rob.
Thank you, KG4ZXC. This is KO4GSC, Wednesday Night Liberty Net, and I got this little story from Fox News. It says Kamala Harris to make first trip to border more than 90 days since being tapped for crisis role. Vice President Kamala Harris is set to visit the U.S.-Mexico border on Friday. The White House confirmed amid mounting criticism from Republicans for not yet doing so, following her appointment by President Biden to handle the root cause of migration. Harris is set to visit El Paso, Texas, with Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Harris has come under heavy criticism from Republicans and some Democrats for the way she has handled the role since being appointed to it 91 days ago. While the White House has emphasized she is tasked with the root cause of the border crisis, Republicans have criticized her repeatedly for not having visited the border wall at all, with former Trump officials saying that she needs to go to the border in order to be able to conduct the talks effectively. Harris earlier this month visited Guatemala for her first visit abroad since being appointed by President Biden to lead diplomatic efforts to the region to help solve the massive spike in migration to the border in recent months. The White House has defended Harris for not visiting the border, saying that her role was to improve diplomacy and conditions inside the Northern Triangle countries where countries are fleeing. The White House said Harris was working with leaders in the Northern Triangle and working on ways to address corruption and the root cause of migration, as well as ways to address humanitarian challenges in the country. It's the same old thing, the same old song and dance. This story is a repetition of itself. They're all saying the same thing, and that's what they're going to keep on saying. They're going to keep on feeding us the same crap and the same bull drive they've been feeding us, and they're not going to stop until we stand up for ourselves, people. We got to wake up. KO4 GST.
Okay, thank you very much there, Rob, and KO4 GST. Appreciate that, Mr. Robbie. And if people don't start waking up and seeing what these people are doing to us, it's only going to continue. And we need to start taking pride in the American way and start rebuilding this country the way it was supposed to be, from one end to the other. And throw communism out, and once and for all, we need to focus, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we need. Thank you, Rob. KO4GSNT. Thank you for being there tonight, Mr. Rob, out of South Carolina. Clear with you. Hey, this is KT4ZXC in the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I am Jesse. I'm located here in the Allegheny Mountains of Pennsylvania and the voter fraud state of PA. And, you know, they've been discussing voter fraud for a while in this state, but I'll tell you, the Attorney General, I can't remember his name because it just eludes me to no end, because I just can't stand hearing his name in general. Sort of like this so-called installed government we have, Harris and Joe Bama. I mean, come on, I'm so sick of these people already. It ain't even 6 months into this, and I'm terrified over what is going to take place in this three-ring circus that we have here. The only thing missing with the Wednesday Night Liberty Net right now is the circus music in the background. But I'm thinking about coming up with that soon. Alright, let's go back to the top, and looks like it's going back to me, because I started the net out. So, KO4, K8JOY, you're on deck, sir. And I'm going to read this one article. And I'd like everybody to start paying attention to Alex Jones' show. He's got a lot of good information. So if you're not listening to Alex Jones' show, you should be. Whenever you can, it's on 12 noon Eastern time. It is on 4.840. And if you listen on the East Coast at 10 o'clock, it comes on as well from 10 to 0200 hours in the AM. And that's going to be on radio station of, that's 4.840, 12 to 2, 12 to 4, Monday through Friday,
So you catch that during the weekday, and our show's at night from 10 to 2 in the morning actually, that was the frequency, 4.840 at night. And the daytime hours is going to be 12.160. So that's going to come off of W1WCR out of Tennessee. So look into that. All right, this article I got coming in tonight is coming off of Gateway Pundits from Dr. Kelly Ward, the Democratic deceptively named For the People Act is not for the people. Yep, they call that, let's see, what is it, SR4 Act, I believe, for the people. Yeah, it's for the people, for the reason they want to get rid of the people. It ain't for the people. This is another BS factor coming out of Pelosi's mouth. The Arizona Republican Party and chairwoman Dr. Kelly Ward releases another amazing update on voting rights in America. Democrats in the Senate are attempting to pass the incumbent act. But luckily, Republican senators have stood their ground so far. Voting rights across America are in jeopardy due to this proposed federal overreach and theft of future elections. So if you ain't calling your senator and raising double L with these people and let them know that you're against this, then you're in the wrong, ladies and gentlemen. We are in a fight for our life and our country. And if you don't start dang waking up and doing something and getting off the couch, sheeple, we're going to be doomed. We've been warning you time and time again. It's only up to you to react now. All right, well, anyway, I'm not going to go into the story anymore than I have to because it just, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. But just remember, if these politicians have their way and do not listen to the American people, we are doomed. And I'll put it bluntly, we are doomed. All right, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. This is KT4ZXC in the Wednesday Night Liberty Net, so I'm going to go ahead and pass it to Mr. Bob K8JOY. Take it away, Bob.
Roger, roger, Jesse, KG4ZX to the CKHOY. Larry brought up about Juneteenth. It's June 19th, and I think I mentioned earlier. What did President Obama do? For 8 years, he could have addressed Juneteenth, but he didn't. In fact, there's a video of him in June 19th of 2016. He's giving a speech in his little tuxedo and making jokes of Juneteenth. Again, he did nothing for the black man. President Trump did more for the black, brown, and Hispanic race than any president has done in decades. What did Juneteenth get you? Well, it's a federal holiday. Well, black and brown that are all raising hell and carrying on, they ain't going to get a holiday. They're on welfare and they're on unemployment and they're getting stimulus money. Okay, so let's see. Did it get them a tax deduction? No. Did it get them a larger SNAP card? No. Did it get them more welfare? No. All it does is try to say that July 4th doesn't really count. Juneteenth is what counts. Just another way to divide the American public through race. And remember, everybody is of the human race. So let's talk about Harris. They talked on our local news that what's that little dumb broad that is the press secretary? Harris is going to get down to the border because now it's under control. When there was, she said, there was over 6,000 children and immigrants coming into town. Well, now it's down to 1,000. No, it's not. That's just all lies. It's amazing. They can't stop lying. So since we're talking about the border, this is from Newsmax. Gunmen aboard a number of vehicles staged attacks in several neighborhoods in the Mexican border city of Reynosa, R-E-Y-N-O-S-A, on Saturday. And at least 15 people died in clashes that caused widespread panic, according to local law enforcement. The Tama Pass State Agency Coordinated Security Forces said in a statement that the attacks began the early afternoon in several neighborhoods in the eastern part of the city, which borders McAllen, Texas. The agency said one person died during an attack on police near a border bridge, but it was not clear if the others were shot in random attacks or were targeted. The shootings mobilized the Army, the National Guard, the state police, and other agencies. Authorities said they detained a person who had two women apparently kidnapped in the trunk of his car and said they seized three vehicles. So we're having shootings. People are dying at the border. They're starving. They're abandoning their children. I don't know if anybody has seen the video of the five-year-old that is abandoned. They're near a bridge, and they're crying and saying, don't leave me, don't leave me. This is what's going on down there. It is out of control, and it's costing human life. But as much as we carry on, oh, Juneteenth, my God, it's such a holiday. Why are we letting all these people at the border die and malnutrition, starve to death, dehydrate, get murdered, get pimped out for sex? What a mess this Joe Biden, as Hannity would call him, Sippy Cup Joe. Amazing. Back to you, Mr. Jesse, KT4ZX and FP, KAH, owner Y.
Hey, very good, Bob. Yeah, exactly. You know, that's sad that the cartel are smuggling people across the border, and then when there's no more use for you, they ditch you out in the middle of nowhere and leave you to defend for yourself. Yes, this is the kind of political party that we have in office right now. They're no different than the cartel, ladies and gentlemen. We've been overrun, and we've been put in a position where we have no choice, where we can't vote these people out. We have no law to enforce the border security. These people are out of complete control, just like Bob just reminded us. And thank God Nebraska has gotten off their double F and started sending some state troopers and among some other personnel to help out and assist Texas in their border. So I was very pleased to hear Nebraska stepping up to the plate to make that happen. Also, Florida Governor DeSantis also had been sending troops over to, not troops, but personnel, officers and state troopers and law enforcement over to Texas to help out as well. So, you know, we're starting to see the American people doing the job that the federal government has been put in place to do, but refuses to do so. And with this two-tier justice system that we have right now, I'll be lucky if we get anything done without more provocation from the United States Attorney General and the Joe Obama administration, I should say. All right, let's see. This is KG4ZXC. Thank you, Bob. Let's see. W2GIO has left for tonight. Thank you, Mr. Frank. KC8 Echo Hotel Romeo has left also. Mr. Quinn out of Michigan. And it goes down to Mr. Lay. What do you have for the final round there, Mr. Larry? N4RRQ, take it away.
Okay, thank you, Jesse. Here's an article. He's commemorating his World War II heroes.
the ones of degrading security. It says Moscow, USA Today, Russia, President Vladimir Putin on Tuesday marked the 80th anniversary of a Nazi attack on the Soviet Union by hailing the country's World War II heroes and calling for efforts to strengthen European security. The Nazis invaded the Soviet Union on June 22, 1941, and the country lost a staggering 27 million people in what it calls the Great Patriotic War. I think in that war, if there hadn't been such bad weather from the ice and the snow, they would have plowed the Nazis over. I mean, the Moscow, the Russians over. They were already really close to Moscow when the tide turned because of the weather, most likely because they couldn't get their tanks moving. And they had to pull people from that area to fight the other fronts and all. But 27 million people they killed before they were stopped. So the enormous suffering and sacrifice have left a deep scar in the national psyche, and this victory day marking the end of World War II in Europe is celebrated in Russia on May the 9th as the nation's most important secular holiday. Today of June 22nd still evokes anger and sorrow in the hearts of all generations, causing pain for the destroyed lives of millions of people. Putin said in a speech at the Unknown Soldier's Tomb at the Kremlin Wall, "Those trials, those terrible years are literally imprinted upon our memory." The invaded Nazi forces quickly overran the western part of the Soviet Union and came within 19 miles of Moscow. But the Red Army rebounded and routed the Nazis near the capital. So the bad weather, the snow, the freezing temperatures slowed the Nazis down and turned them around. The Red Army turned around the war at that point and then moved the Nazis back. But the Battle of Stalingrad was their best thing that happened to the Russians at that point, where they had a crushing defeat to the Nazis at that point. Russian Chancellor Angela Merkel called Putin on Tuesday to express sympathy with the unmeasurable woes and suffering brought by the war as launched by the Nazi regime, the Kremlin said. Both parties underlined the importance of preserving the historical memory of those tragic events and noted that overcoming mutual enmity and reconciliation of the Russian and German people had key importance for the destinies of post-war Europe. So the article goes on, tells about the Russians, and I remember at the end of World War II, some of our generals said, "While we're over here, why don't we just get Russia while we're over here, because we're going to have to fight them anyway, sooner or later. And we got all our men over here, and we could just go ahead and take them right now." But it didn't work out that way. And we'll probably be fighting them, in a lot of ways for the rest of our days there. So if they don't overtake us. All right, let me see if I can find one more good one here, Jesse. A real good one. I don't see it right away here. Let me look through this one section here. Maybe I'll come up with it. I believe I'll have to stop it right there. Enjoy the net. Thank you very much, Jesse and Bob, for helping out. Hope everything went good with your get together there on Saturday night. Bob, we missed you on the net, but I know you had other things to do. And I got an article regarding the Virginia Aims for Statue time capsule. This is regarding Robert E. Lee. It's a little bit too long to read right now, but I'll get to that. I've got one other article. I did run into what I wanted to read here. It says Duarte threatens to arrest Filipinos who refuse vaccination. Now here, this is in Manila, Philippines. The Philippine president has threatened to order the arrest of Filipinos who refused COVID-19 vaccinations and told them to leave the country if they would not cooperate with efforts to end a public health emergency. President Rodrigo Duterte, who is known for his public outbursts and brash rhetoric, said in a televised remark Monday night that he had become exasperated with people who refused to get immunized amid a health crisis and help spread the coronavirus. So this is what it's getting down to. Thank goodness it's not happening here in the U.S., which it's not over with yet. These idiots that run the country could do something like this at any time. But this is in the Manila, Philippines. Duterte threatens to arrest and expel them from the country if they don't take the vaccine. We all know that the vaccine is pure poison crap. And all kinds of stuff in there, changes your DNA, all kinds of stuff. So this guy has been assimilated, as they say. He's been Borg assimilated, if you watch Star Trek. This is an article here regarding the most claims and clearing of D.C. protest talk. Associated Press says Washington federal judge dismissed most claims filed by activists and civil liberties groups accusing the Trump administration of violating the civil rights of protesters who were forcefully removed by police before then President Donald Trump walked to a church near the White House for a photo. The U.S. District Judge Dabney Frederick said Monday the claim in the suit, which alleged that Trump and then Attorney General William Barr had conspired to violate the rights of protesters last June. Now, here they're for the protesters, here's the waiver. We're speculative, and it was premature for the court to conclude if the actions of law enforcement officers were justified. Frederick dismissed the claims against Barr and other federal officials, including the acting U.S. Park Police Chief Gregory Monahan, finding there wasn't sufficient evidence to prove there was any agreement or plan to violate the rights of the protesters in Florida. The judge did allow the claims against the Metropolitan Police Department and the Arlington Police Department to proceed. Their officers were involved in clearing the park. So here they're going to sue the Metropolitan Police Department and the Arlington Police Department because they cleaned some protesters out of the park so that Trump could get to see the church that the protesters burned down part of it across from the White House. What a bunch of idiocy. So, okay, back to you there, Jesse, from N4ROQ on the living. Yeah, N4ROQ. All right, very good, Larry, and thank you, and always a pleasure hearing from you, and you always bring some great articles and reports to the table, so thank you for that, Mr. Larry, and I hope you and Mom are doing well over there. All right, this is the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I'm KG4ZXC, and this is Jesse out of the voter fraud state of Pennsylvania, and we're going down to the next on the list, which is KO4GSNT. Mr. Rock, take it away, sir.
Thank you, KG4ZXC. This is KO4GSC, and I want to read this little story out of ABC's news, and it says, Socialist candidate India Walton defeats Buffalo's four-term mayor. A socialist candidate in Buffalo, New York, defeated the city's four-term mayor in a major upset in Tuesday's Democratic primary. India B. Walton beat Mayor Byron Brown 52% to 45%, with 100% of precincts reporting. The Associated Press called the rushes late Wednesday morning. I believe we won because we organized. We have a message of care, love, and hope that is resonant in the working class of Buffalo's people, Walton told MSNBC's I'm in Mogollon on Wednesday. If Walton 39 wins the general election in November, she will become the first socialist mayor of a large American city since 1960, when Frank Ziegler left office in Milwaukee. Her chances of winning are high, since Buffalo hasn't had a Republican mayor since 1965. This victory is ours. It is the first of many, she told the crowd of her supporters Tuesday night, as the election results rolled in. If you are in an elected office right now, you are being put on notice. We are coming. After declaring victory, Walton called her mother by phone and was seen in a video recorded by the Buffalo News celebrating, "Mommy, I won. Mommy, I'm the mayor of Buffalo." Well, not until January, but yeah. Walton has worked as a nurse and community activist in Buffalo and never run for elected office. Imagine that. A socialist mayor and a Democrat. KO4 GST.
Hey, very good, Rob. Socialist Democrat. And this is what we're dealing with. And you're going to tell me the people of Buffalo voted for this lady? Well, personally, I don't buy it. I smell more election fraud. I don't understand how on the earth that this woman, a socialist, can be, elected in a Republican area of New York. That's what's really driving me completely nuts on that portion of the story. Wow, this is what we got to look forward to. More voting fraud, ladies and gentlemen, and that's how these people got elected to begin with. And this is why our country is so corrupt, because this of all things is what's striving and driving this country in the ground. Hey, this is KG4ZXC in the Wednesday night limiting net, and it's getting ready to come to a close. So this is KG4ZXC taking any last check-in. So anyone who would like to join us, anyone anywhere, call now.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, sir, Mr. Bob, you surely can. Take it away.
I want to add to what Larry brought up about President Trump going across the street to the St. John's Church. No one was charged with setting a church, a place of worship, ablaze. And it was, if you watch the videos, it was just over 15 minutes to get a fire truck here because those bastard protesters were blocking the street. But yet they'll turn around and chastise them for clearing the park so the president can go see the church that is across from the White House. This country is effed up. Back to you, Jesse.
Well, you said it, Bob. It is definitely jacked up in so many different ways. I used to watch Glenn Beck a lot of times, and he made it clear many times before, you will not recognize your country. In the next 4 years, you will not recognize this country. And you know what? He is absolutely correct. So, all right, well, Mr. Bob, it looks like it's coming to a close. So, let's see. Mr. Larry, do you have anything you would like to add to the Knights of Liberty Net?
I would just miss Mo out there. I hope he's not ill. The guys probably said my phone needs to check on him. Not sure. See how Mo is. Sure do miss him, and I always will miss W1WCR. And I remember that he had the COVID-19 shot. I don't remember exactly how far from the time that he passed away, he had the shot, until the time he passed away. Maybe we can find out there for sure, but I'm sure that there was some ideas that had something He went downhill after that shot, so everyone remember that. Could have been the what took him
kicking away from us.
Sure, he was just such a good guy. I sure do hate to see him go, that's for sure.
Okay, thanks guys
for running it. I always enjoy it. The band seemed to be pretty good tonight, so that's great news for us. And back to you there.
Jesse from N4IO.
Take care, guys.
Hey, very good. Thank you, Mr. Larry, N4ROQ. KL4GST, do you have anything you would like to add tonight before we shut the net down? Take it away if you're still with us.
I just want to say I hope everybody has a good rest of the week and be safe out there in 73.
All right, well, 73 is there, Mr. Rob, and appreciate you being here tonight, and appreciate all your input. And it looks like we're going to bring it to a close, ladies and gentlemen. I am Kilo Golf 4, Zulu X-Ray Charlie, out of the Voter Frost State of Pennsylvania, and this is the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I want to hand it over to Bob, to close the net down, and once he does that, I'd just like to go ahead and thank everybody who's participated tonight in tonight's Liberty Net. KAJY, W2GIO, KC8E Echo Hotel Romeo, Mr. Larry and 4ROQ, KO4GST, and we miss Miss Laura tonight into JTTF, and Mr. Marty into IRJ, and we'll keep Mr. Rick and his family in our thoughts and prayers. So W1WCR, God bless you, sir. We're going to miss you. And this brings it to a close for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. So, Mr. Bob, go ahead and take it away, and over to you.
All righty, Mr. Jesse, thank you. As Jesse, KG4CXNC, closes the window on this night's Liberty Net, Jesse wants to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers, which are often listening. A special thank you and a rest in peace to the Silent King, W1WCR Victor, W9FAM Vern, KE8INE behind enemy lines, Mr. Jim, KN4CF Robert, N3TVA Mike, W2WCW Frank, W8MPB Harvey, K4TAR Harrison, KB2DYB Dennis, KE2LO Eugene, and KI2J Mike. It is my prayer and Jesse's prayer for God to bless this great country that we call America. With that being said, this is KHLY signing, and I'll pass it back for the last comment from KT4ZX in the Sea.
All right, thank you, Bob. And as we close tonight's Liberty Net, I am KG4ZXC, and I'd like to thank each and every one. And I'd like to send out a prayer to everyone on the net tonight. And we appreciate each and every one who's participating. And hopefully you'll come back Saturday night and join us once again for the weekend Saturday Night Liberty Net. Until then, 73 is each and every one. 73 is all. God save America. With that, this is KGE4ZXC and 73. Over to you, Bob, and 73s, and we're gone.
73s, and God bless you all around.
73s, Mr. Larry, N4ROQ. Oh, by the way, I meant to say, Mr. Moe, if you're out there listening in the great state of Nebraska, KD0RSA, I hope you're doing well, sir. God bless you, too, if you're out there listening, Moe.